May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my Lord, my Rock and Redeemer. Amen. I was delighted to catch up with Colin today as to what our worship songs and ones throughout the service were going to be today, because as you would have heard in Revelations, was a line that says, had a lyrics and a tune running through my head. And it went something like, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and health, wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise." And I know it's coming, so I'm not going to sing it today. But our gospel today is like hearing an echo. And when I read through our gospel, I started to chuckle, because in the short time I've been here, the number of people who've taken me aside and mentioned to me, "We love it when you say fish." And I said, "What?" They said, "We love it when you say fish. Do you have fish and chips here?" And I said, "Yeah, it's one of my staples when I'm doing my sermon, to go and buy fish and chips and sit by the wharf and meditate on my sermon." They go, say it again, fish and chips. And I'm like, "What's going on?" And it's the sound of the difference, of course. So I had a chuckle when I thought, "Oh no, I'm going to have to say that F word today and people are going to be chuckling." And then there was also the reflection, and my children will back me up. I'm terrible at sayings, but it reminded me of that saying where you take a man fishing and you feed him for a day. You teach a man to fish and you feed him for life. And so here I am thinking about all of this as I meditate on the sermon for today. An echo is the key, the echoing of voices of the past. We here have a passage we often hear separated, and yet read together, the repeated nature of the dialogue is so much clearer. It is after Jesus' resurrection, after Jesus has appeared to the disciples on at least two occasions, according to St. John, not counting his initial appearance to Mary in the garden on Easter Sunday. So, the shock of Jesus' death and resurrection, although not resolved, was past its initial disbelief. And the disciples seemed to find themselves, if not in grief, then still in deep confusion over the whole thing, which is hardly surprising. Their response to not knowing what to do with this new information is to go back to doing what they know best, fishing. We can picture the scene. If we've ever been to a funeral of a large number of people together at a time of grief, some people make themselves busy, and others go out of their minds feeling cooped up in the house, and soon drift to outside the front door, everyone looking where they can to express their grief in the most comfortable way for them. Equally, it seems these disciples of Jesus needed to go somewhere, do something, be useful in order to keep from thinking too deeply about what had gone on. And so they got in a boat and went fishing. This is where the echo begins, as this scene is not unlike that first meeting with Jesus, fishermen in their boats, toiling in vain, having caught nothing. And Jesus borrows their boat to preach to the crowd. After speaking, he tells them how to fish. "Cast your nets on the right side." A carpenter tries to tell a fisherman how to fish. It's a little surprising that they didn't refuse. Yet Jesus had been preaching and they'd been impressed by him. So they perhaps thought they had nothing to lose by giving it a try. As we know, they were rewarded in their obedience by a large number of fish that time. And this time, also, the scene unfolds in a remarkably similar way. Jesus calls to the boat, "Have you caught anything?" "Nothing," came the reply. "Cast your net on the right side of the boat." What happens? They're rewarded by 153 large fish. Fish they couldn't have missed all night. Fish that were part of Jesus' miraculous encounter. And if you recall, my first sermon was about dangling my feet in the Sea of Galilee. To get to the rock that I sat on, I had to pass where that encounter occurred. And it's got bread, loaves and fishes above the church that sits in that very space where Jesus was said to have had breakfast with the disciples. Why so similar? What is the purpose of repeating an encounter? Why do we repeat anything? How many times can you hear your voice echoing in a room when you're trying to tell your child, do this, put that away, stop doing that, and it's like echoing and nothing is happening? But you continually tell them to do things so they learn. We practice when we want to improve or memorize something. Learning an instrument. Memorizing our times tables. Whenever we want to establish something in memory to perfection, repetition is often the key. Jesus used what worked before to get their attention. In so doing, he reminded them what his ministry had been all about and why they had followed him in the first place. And by performing the same miracle again, he taught the disciples that saying, I'm a follower of Christ, is not a one-time statement, but rather it's a continual state of being that requires us all to be looking for Jesus, listening to his call for us, waiting on opportunities to be obedient to him. We are not called once to become a Christian. We're continually called and recalled to Christ's service, sometimes in the same ways as before, sometimes in new ways. But our call is a conversation that is ongoing and alive. Jesus reminded the disciples that he had promised to make them fishers of people and that their lives were committed to that, so that even when they try to go back to how things were before, they could do nothing without him. Then comes our second echo. Jesus says to eat with the disciples and stays to eat with the disciples, and he and Peter have an uncomfortable encounter. Poor Peter. Peter was keen to be the first to get to Jesus, as even his impetuousness sees him jump in feet first, quite literally this time, and swim to Jesus, leaving the others to struggle with the boat and the fish. When he gets to shore, he dares not ask Jesus who he is, and it is Christ who initiates the conversation to put to rest the unfinished business between them. You will remember that Peter was the most dedicated, the most obedient, the most enthusiastic, the most over-the-top disciple amongst the 12 throughout Jesus' ministry. Yet, what happened? He was the one to deny he even knew Jesus after his arrest. Not once, but three times. Jesus warned him he would. Peter wouldn't believe him. But he did it. Whenever Peter's mouth began working before his brain was engaged, Jesus rebuked him or explained things to him and always forgave him his impetuousness. But this time, when Peter denied him, Jesus could not rush to his aid. So here on the beach, in a perfect echo of the denials, Jesus asked Peter if he loves him. He asks three times, and he accepts his answer each time. It's like Peter had to say he loved Jesus three times to erase the three denials. Not for Jesus' sake. Jesus had already forgiven him. Why else would he be there? But for Peter's sake, so that he knew it was forgiven. How difficult is it for us to trust people when they have wronged us? Even when we think we understand why the event or argument occurred and can move forward beyond it, we are often a little more wary in the future. Say you have someone over for a meal and they manage to smash one of your best crystal glasses accidentally. You might accept that it was an accident, but perhaps the next time they visit, you just might put out the everyday glasses just in case. Jesus, however, sets us an example of true forgiveness, where not only do we accept the remorse of the wrongdoer, but we also entrust them with the most precious of things to us, even though that makes us vulnerable to them again. It's not easy, but that is what Christ does. Peter, for all his mistakes, his betrayal and his risk, was entrusted with the mission of the church. And if, like me, you followed the funeral service of Pope Francis there in the Basilica, I couldn't help but think of Peter and his ministry over there in Rome. However, not single-handed, but with the support of the disciples and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but nevertheless, he became a leader for the church, and when next he was faced with danger because of his faith, he faced it without a hint of fear, even to his martyrdom, proving to Christ that his faith in Peter was well placed, but also proving to us that we can truly be forgiven and found worthy no matter what we have done before and how many mistakes we have made. The echoes in John's gospel serve as lessons to us all of the awesome love of God through Jesus to call, to recall, to forgive, and to entrust to each of us God's mission and the future of his church. May we learn to hear his call, respond to his recall, accept gratefully his forgiveness, and deserve his trust in all that we do in his name. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen.